The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
It does, doesn't it, Wynn?
It does.
Totally settles in your soul. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
And we are here broadcasting live from KCNR Studios. You are listening to Jefferson State of Mind. We are down in downtown Reading. 96.5 is our FM station where the music does sound better. 1460 AM. And we are streaming live all over the world. KCNR1460.com. KCNR1460.com. If you have a question or you have a comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And yes, I am springy today because I am rested.
Rested.
I am.
Awesome. That's good.
Yes. Other than you, my friend.
Yeah, whatever.
That's okay.
We're living the dream.
But you went and saw the lights last night.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Did you enjoy that?
We did. Very much so.
Oh, that's great. So anyway, we're back here in downtown Reading, and, you know, there's a lot of things that have been happening this week and happen in our country, happening in our state, and, of course, the big news is the conviction of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That scam.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, do I think.
I mean,
they still haven't told him or his legal team what the crime was.
Oh, that judge was.
How does that work? How do you get arrested and then found guilty on 34 counts of something that they can't tell you what it is, and they haven't told you what it is?
Yeah. Well, you know that's you know our due process of law, isn't it? That you know you're not
in New York.
You're guilty until proven innocent.
In New York and California's probably not too far behind it. They're just rubbing their hands together, thinking, "Oh wow, we could do the same thing here."
We're going to get started on California. I'll tell you what.
California.
You know, guys, here's the deal. There was a memorial held for Pete Peters, who was a wonderful man.
Great guy.
Amazing what he did in his lifetime. You know, just an amazing guy and did a great radio program. I got to serve on a board with him with the Tea Party back in 2009, 2010, and just a great guy. And anyway, Congressman LaMalfa was there, and he and I were talking a bit, and we were talking about what's going on in California, where he doesn't really have a lot of jurisdiction, being a
one of the handful of federal officials.
Kind of like you're in good hands, and then whoops, your hands open.
Yep.
So, you know, it's kind of a thing where, you know, we were talking about some things. He said, yeah, we're kind of the tip of the spear out here, which we are, especially in Shasta County.
Always have been.
Yeah, there's not too much doubt about that at this point. But, I mean, you got to ask yourself, you know, at what point do we just say, hey,
we're done.
Yeah. And you know, what we want to talk about a little bit today is how we need to do that locally. I mean, let's look at some of the facts here. Now, what we want to do is the latest thing is that they're proposing a 1 cent tax for a jail. We live in California.
Denied.
Well, yeah, you know, but I mean, still, like, let's get a bigger jail, right? Okay, we just had 4,600 prisoners released, and everybody knew about that months ago, but they're doing that. 4,600.
Yeah.
You think we're going to get some? Duh. Okay, we have illegal immigration coming out the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Congressman LaMalfa about that, and he was asked also on a local radio program yesterday about that. These buses that are coming up here, he isn't denying that buses are coming here.
Now, what about the boats hitting the shoreline?
And the boats hitting the shoreline. You know, I mean, it's just absolutely nuts. So we're getting all that up here. We're getting more crime up here. Nothing's a crime anymore. You can walk into a store and steal up to $900 worth of stuff, and that's not a crime. Okay, so let's build a bigger jail. It sounds to me when, like, two farmers that get together, and they say, you know, we've got bales of hay here. We're buying it for a dollar. It costs us a dollar to produce, and we're going to sell them for a dollar. I know how to fix it. Let's get a bigger truck.
Yeah.
And that's California, because they're just not understanding the fact that California does not work. You guys get it out there? San Ysidro, where the immigration is coming in, the largest, biggest port of entry in the entire world. I'm going to say that again. San Ysidro is the largest, biggest, most active port of entry in the world.
It's a little busy there, isn't it?
You think?
Yeah.
And these guys are not coming off with, you know, they're not coming out there with sombreros and ponchos on,
and
with a girl behind them and flip-flops. Yeah. They're in Nikes and nice clothes, you know, with a brand new cell phone and a beautiful new backpack and very nice clothes.
And that's because they just got off an airplane there in Tijuana.
Yes, sir.
And they're coming across the line.
Yes, sir.
They got off an airplane coming from God knows where.
Yes, sir.
So they haven't spent any time trudging through the desert.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
Yeah. And here's the best part. As Sheriff Johnson had alluded to when he gave his presentation to the Board of Supervisors, he said that they know the buildings. There are three buildings you can see. One is sex trafficking, the other one is fentanyl, the other one, I believe, is arms. The sheriff of Shasta County mentioned who owns each one of those buildings, which cartel is responsible for each one of those buildings. We can see them. So my question to you folks is, and I'll post this to you if you want to call in, great, 530-605-4567. If they even know the families that own these things, is Mexico an ally?
No.
The Mexican government, I'm not talking about the Mexican people. The Mexican government, are they an ally? Are they a friend? They allow all this stuff to go through. They allow all these things to happen. They allow all this stuff. You know, really and truly, I mean, they are detrimental. Their government is detrimental to our country.
Well, they're getting paid for every one of those bodies that comes across the border. Every single one. Because you're not going to let people come from God knows where without charging them a transfer fee of some sort, whatever. And the airlines that are transporting those people from God knows where, they're allowed to land in Mexico and to dump them, but they're not coming, you know, what, 40, 50 miles across the border, landing in California to dump them?
Well,
why is that?
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right about all that, my friend. Also, when you stop and think about those three buildings and the crime, the criminals, the situation it sends across to our borders,
mm-hmm.
and the Mexican government knowing who's responsible, but they just... I mean, seriously, I mean, if you know, I have heard very recently that many of the people that live in Tijuana, the good people of,
right.
you know, of Mexico that live there, are afraid to come out of their homes.
I don't blame them.
You know, and it's just, I mean, seriously, that's on our border. And because Arizona is taking a stronger stand, Texas is taking a stronger stand, the spawn of Satan, as we know as Gavin Newsom, is saying, okay, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in. What do you need? Come on in. Here's some shoes.
He's getting kickbacks from somewhere, somehow.
You think?
He doesn't do anything without him earning something or gaining something. Not earning it so much, but gaining it, benefiting in some capacity.
Okay, so let's go back to this jail thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how you guys feel about the jail out there, you know, but, you know, when you think about the jail, we need to increase the beds. So if we increase the beds and we bring more people, but then if not anything's a crime, who do we put in there? And it's sort of your...
The innocent.
Maybe. I mean, I have a friend that got a ticket for making an illegal right turn, even though it was safe, while people were dealing drugs on the corner. And that's okay. But he got a ticket for doing an illegal right turn. According to him, the police officer just didn't see these other people all standing out there. Well, you're not going to make any money off them.
Well, okay.
Money off a guy who you give a ticket to, who you probably ran the plate and knows he has some money.
Well, when I was campaigning, one of the things that I was talking about, and people were curious about it, they're saying, what about the jail, what about the jail, what about the jail? And I said, well, why don't we take a good hard look with our neighboring counties here, because we have the High Desert Prison that apparently reports say or indicate that they've closed down most of it. Why can we not budget in some capacity with our neighboring counties to send our convicted to those, to that place, to the prison, and hold them in there? Because we have people sitting in our local jails that are sitting here that are state, that are supposed to be going to the prison. They're not going to the prison because Newsom has closed things down. Why are we allowing that to happen? Why are we, the people, allowing that to happen? We're paying for it with our tax dollars in every capacity, through state funds and our county funds. We're paying for it. We're going to pay for it. And we're paying for it because we're being victimized again on top of everything else that they already do, whether they're victimizing our citizens or we're being victimized by having to pay higher taxes to support these things that aren't being used. So why are we not doing that? And if it truly is, High Desert Prison over in Susanville is down in capacity, why are we not banding with neighboring counties to make sure that we haul all the jailbirds over there and put them where they need to be?
Those are just excellent points.
It's not going to cost us $25 million or $50 million or $100 million per county to do that. It certainly won't cost that much. Why are we not thinking
of jail?
Think outside the flipping box. Think outside the box.
Yeah, and it's cheaper than a jail.
And it's cheaper than a jail.
About a jail here is going to run $125 million.
Exactly. So take that money, not all of it, but, I mean, take a portion of that money and just look at it. I mean, it doesn't cost anything to have some meetings with other boards of supervisors. It doesn't cost money to do that. Have the sheriffs all come together and band up with boards of supervisors. Come up with a plan. It's not rocket science, folks. It's getting together and figuring out a plan. Figure it out.
You're 100% right. You know, and when you look at this, you've got, you know, we don't have jail space. We have tons of criminals on the street. We have drugs. We have the homeless problem. You know, we have the immigration problem. It freaked out Sheriff Johnson enough to where he went to the Board of Supervisors, visibly shaken about the information he was about to give.
But I have a question about that, too, the timing of it. He went in December and he reported in April. What took so long?
Well, you know, and I'm not really defending him, but I know that stuff like this might take a while. Maybe he was gathering more data. Maybe he was making sure the data he had was correct.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera. However, there has been, I know yesterday on another local talk show, that is a conservative talk show, the host had mentioned that he's tried to get Sheriff Johnson on his program a lot of times, and I guess there was just that new murder that happened that nobody knew about, the three people that were murdered, and all of a sudden, you know, nobody knew anything about it, nothing was ever heard, and a lot of things are, I guess the complaint has been there hasn't been transparency with the sheriff's office. And, you know, I think that, and, you know, you can make the excuse, well, it's an investigation. Well, okay. But, you know, really and truly, it's kind of like, okay, if there is something going on, something happened for something going on. The investigation can be kept quiet. But the fact that this happened in our community is something people need to know.
Right.
How do you cover that up? Well, we're investigating it. No. It happened. Your investigation is something completely different. Your investigation is who done it, right?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, we have that. You know, we have the illegal buses. And even in talking to the congressman, it's kind of like, hey, you know, he knows that.
Well, multiple law enforcement officers throughout the county, whether they're sheriff, City of Reading Police Department, or APD, have all acknowledge and said that they have seen that. And for some of these people that are out there saying, oh, it's not happening, prove it. Prove that it's not happening. Because these law enforcement officers are fully aware, and there are other good citizens that have seen this thing happening. You know, when I'm talking about the buses rolling in and people getting off the buses.
Yeah.
They've seen it happen.
Well, the congressman almost admitted it, only because, you know, you've got to be a little, you know, the politics side of it. But basically, yeah, he alluded to it.
Screw the politics. Let's do what's right.
Do what's right. I mean, and this is the problem, okay? Here's the deal, folks. California is unfixable. It's absolutely crazy.
Yep.
And, you know, really and truly, we've got people that are saying, hey, we need to fix the school boards. Okay, so is fixing the school boards going to change a law?
No.
SB 71 made in 2003, new sexual health standards, teaches children in grades 5 through 12 that any consensual sexual behavior is safe as long as you protect yourself with a condom. Teaches that homosexuality, bisexuality, and transsexuality are normal. How is the school board going to change that? That is a law, folks. Oh, how about this one? SB 777, made in 2007. That's when this was passed. The Senate bill prohibits all school instruction from promoting a discriminatory bias against homosexuality, bisexuality, transsexuality to students as young as 5 years old. Children are to be taught that gender is a matter of choice. That's where you get this new thing about, if I want to be Josephine instead of Joe today, I can go and do that. I don't have a problem with anybody and what their sexual persuasion is. I just don't want it shoved down my kid's throat.
Right.
Or my grandkid's throat. And they don't want what we do. They don't probably don't want heterosexuality shoved down their throat.
Right.
Okay. And so the thing is, so why don't you just teach reading, writing, and arithmetic and history like you're supposed to? But, I mean, these are laws. So how's your school board going to change these laws? I mean, you know, we just are not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have all the initiatives you want, you can have all the stuff you want, you can bitch and moan all you want, but the problem is always going to be, the situation that this is law. Only law can be changed by changing a law with a referendum. Only law can be changed with a way to change the law.
Right.
Here's the kicker. This is a good one. 2011, and a lot of people thought this all started now, Senate Bill 48, mandates that children in grades kindergarten through 12th grade in all instruction in social sciences. Now remember, this is supposed to be science. Admire the role and contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. California public schools must implement the requirements. Not shall, not maybe, not you can if you want, but must. So how does the school board change that? Supplemental materials, i.e. handouts, homosexual biographies, classroom discussions, essays, and other homework, outside speakers, including drag queen story time. And here's the kicker that everybody's complaining about. That was 2013. This was not just recently.
Well, 2011 or 2013?
This is 2013. That was 2011, the one I just read.
Right.
The one I'm about to read is 2013.
Okay, so we're looking at 12, 13 years of this happening. Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, brother. Okay, so this is 2013, Assembly Bill 1266. Get this. Requires all kindergarten through 12th grade public schools to permit biological boys in girls' restrooms, showers, and clubs, and sports teams in biological girls and boys' restrooms, showers, and clubs, and sports teams. The identity a pupil the right to violate these sexual boundaries is based solely upon the self-declaration. Remember the law we talked about, Senate Bill in 2007, that basically it's a matter of choice of whether or not what gender you want to be. That was back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And now they went ahead and they set that one up to set this one up. And again, the right to violate these sexual boundaries is based solely on the self-declaration, as in SB 777 in 2007. Self-declaration of a different gender identity. A pupil shall be permitted to participate in sex-segregated school programs and activities, including athletic teams, competitions, and the use of facility showers, consistent with his or her gender identity, irrespective of the gender listed on the pupil's records. That all started in 2007, right? That started with SB, Senate Bill 777, that specifically said children are to be taught that gender is a matter of choice. So if you make that choice, then what, 7 years later, 6 years later, they pass a law saying, since we have this law and you can make the choice, now we're going to say you can go, yeah, if you're a guy, you can go play volleyball and take a shower with the girls after. How is any of that okay?
It's not.
Okay, so if none of that's okay, let's change that with the school board. How does the school board change law?
They don't.
I mean,
they can dictate to the superintendent and to the school staff not to comply.
That's the whole key. Do not submit to this tyranny. Do not submit to any of this tyranny, and that's the whole key. Think about this a minute. And is it time for this? When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty.
Mm-hmm.
When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yes. So when we look at this and we start understanding what's going on, we have to get our boards of supervisors
mm-hmm.
to say, you know what, we are going to pass a resolution. This resolution is going to say anything Because they're the legislative branch, they are the executive branch, and they are the...
Legislative and executive of the county.
Of the county.
Right. They have more power than the governor.
Exactly.
And if they just use it and use it properly, they could fix a lot. So all 58 counties could do that. That's why the state keeps pounding on the local boards of supervisors, because then they won't step out of bounds and not be compliant to what the state mandates. No, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. The pyramid is from the top down, people down to the government. All the way down. The pyramid is upside down. It's we the people going down to the government.
Yeah, we have an inverted hierarchy, no question about it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you look at this, and as Wynn's saying, you're 100% right, my friend. When you look at this thing, you're looking and going, you know, gee willikers, the Board of Supervisors should pass a resolution saying that no law that is unconstitutional, according to the United States Constitution and the California Constitution, shall be enforced in Shasta County. And I think they also should put on the ballot that because of irreconcilable differences, now you guys can go out there and fight all you want over this school stuff, but really and truly, I'm telling you, the state controls that. I just read it to you. I don't care. You know, what are you going to do, initiative for 40 or 50 laws that they have out there? Right?
That's all you'd be doing.
Is that the deal? 40 or 50 laws you go on? I mean, I'd like to hear what the argument is on that. I'd like to hear what the sense that is. Anyway, so the thing is, the Board of Supervisors, and even though that wouldn't affect school boards, we should just say we will not be compliant with the state. And I think we have irreconcilable differences with the state of California as a county, and therefore we should consider the fact that we have the right under Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution to separate and begin to search out and form a new state with other counties that are like-minded.
Amen.
That's what I think.
Amen.
And I think that if we form other states with like-minded counties, that doesn't mean – I'm talking San Diego and Riverside, okay? I'm not talking about just Northern California. I'm not even talking about one state. I think each county should put forth a resolution saying we will not allow –
mm-hmm.
Especially the sheriff. The sheriff goes ahead and he starts pulling crap where he's arresting law-abiding citizens. Look at this. We got January 6th. We got people that are in
still
prison.
Still in jail.
In prison.
Yeah.
You know, and Congressman LaMalfa was asked about that. And there was just, you know, I like Congressman LaMalfa, but there wasn't really a pat answer. Maybe he doesn't have one.
The congressman from the Judiciary Committee for Congress went to that prison and they were denied access. They were at the door and they were denied access. They were actually kicked out of the building.
That's right.
And the doors were locked behind them. So what does that tell you?
I'm telling you.
Defund that prison immediately.
Yeah.
That's all they have to do is defund it.
Defund the prison.
Then how are they going to operate? They're not going to have the staff.
Yep.
And then they can let those people out.
And that's been a suggestion. And everything falls on deaf ears. You guys get it out there?
They control the purse strings.
We have to understand that we have to take back the country. We're only going to take back the country county by county and state by state.
That's right.
And, you know, I've talked to many people in New York State. I've talked to people in the state of Virginia. I've talked to people in a state of Illinois.
In denial.
These people are under. They're thinking the same way. I mean, at what point do you just tell them no? Think about this, folks. Your kids are in jeopardy when they go to school.
Yeah.
And it's law. What's the school board going to do? Well, we got good people. What's it going to do? And I'm not trying to be mean or grumpy. Or what? I mean, come on. Somebody tell me what that's going to do.
You're just stating the facts.
I'm stating the facts. Okay, and the other thing is, too, we've got immigration that's out of hand. We're the largest port of entry in the world.
Yep.
I went down and saw it. You go down there, and I mean, you know, you're talking, you know, right down there in San Diego County. I mean, this is insane, you guys. This is insane. The Board of Supervisors has to stand up and write a resolution. This resolution needs to say that we will no longer comply with any law that is unconstitutional according to the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of California. Because the Constitution of the State of California, if it does not comply with or agree with the United States Constitution, is in violation of the California Constitution, Article 3, Section 1, which states that the State of California recognizes the United States Constitution as the supreme law of the land and as an inseparable part of that. So that means the Constitution, over bad law, over bad amendments, over bad anything that isn't agreeable with the United States Constitution, is unlawful. And it's in our own law.
Can you imagine the founders of the country and the founders of California are all spinning in their grave, respectively? They are all spinning in their grave like saying, what the hell have you guys done to what we put together? Yep. What are you guys doing? How stupid can you be?
Yep.
They're probably wanting to slap us all upside the head saying, knock it off. Get your crap together.
Yep. Now we're going to talk about some other solutions when we come back. The second half hour of this is going to be solution. If you have a question or comment, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. And I'm looking up here, and it says, or 605-4566.
There we go.
So I didn't know that was happening now because I haven't been here.
There you go.
But time has come.
For 51.
See you on the other side.
Sitting on a bar stool. Kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache. His voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load.
Tired of the long drive to the airport? Fly from Reading Regional Airport instead and travel the world with one connection with United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Reading Regional Airport is close to home, and you'll enjoy quick check-ins, ease, and convenience. Getting to where you're going is easy. Book your flight from Reading Regional Airport nonstop to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Take the vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience at Reading Regional Airport.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Great things come in small packages at Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us in Seasons on Saturday, June 15th for an event night special to savor. With a River Club card, you can enjoy a shrimp cocktail for $10, mini corn dogs or elote cheesy corn nuggets for $8, and sip on pint-sized perfection with our wrestle-worthy micro pint. These bite-sized specials are a treat you won't want to miss. For complete menu details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your limits at Wind River Resort and Casino.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
It does settle in your soul. Yes, it does. Well, we've been bringing up some things this morning on the issues that we have in California. We have irreconcilable differences.
Sounds like a divorce.
We need to get a divorce. And I really think we have to start with each county that is willing to put forth a resolution that no laws will be enforced and the sheriff should not enforce any laws that are unconstitutional. That even bounces to the Second Amendment. So I think it needs to be done. We need to take a stand right now. They have pushed their stuff too far.
And they need to do it sooner rather than later. And don't worry about being the first one to do it, or the second one to do it, or the last one to do it. Just get it done.
I'm going to read this twice for those of you folks who are looking at, oh my gosh, the school situation and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. The name of this group is called Public School Exit. Public School Exit. A lady named Dran Reese is the CEO and the president, and an amazing lady. And you can reach them at 888-725-8654. 888-725-8654. And the email where you go to get information on Public School Exit. This is for all you folks who are having issues and situations where maybe you're a single mom, maybe you're a single dad, etc. Again, you're not going to change it with the school board. Sorry, I'm sorry. There's like 25 laws. You can't change a law with a school board. www.public, with a capital P, school, with a capital S, exit, with a capital E, .com. So it's public school exit, all one word, .com. And you can find that there. Another group that we have is a group by Dran Reese called Brave Salt. And Brave Salt is affiliated with Salt and Light, the Salt and Light Council. And the phone number for that group is area code 888-725-8654. Same number, 888-725-8654. Just amazing stuff, amazing information. And Andrew, how are you, sir? What say you?
Hey, you know, I believe this is already settled law. I think Marburg, Madison, the early 1800s. Anything that is contrary to the Constitution is null and void. That was a Supreme Court case in the early 1800s. Are you fellas aware of that?
Yeah,
yes,
of course.
We are.
Well, there's a commerce clause.
Yep.
You know, you're right, my good friend. The thing is that we do, yeah, they're breaking the law. So why are you, why is your county complying with it?
Right.
That's my whole point. That's why we need a resolution, and then we need a something on the ballot stating that we just have irreconcilable differences and we're just not going to do that anymore. We're not playing anymore. And I think counties need to get together and do it.
We shouldn't even be here because of that case.
I love
you.
That's right. You're right.
You're right.
You're right, my brother. You're right. You're right. What can I say? But it's sort of like, here's the rub. See, here's the problem we have. We have an inverted hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks the federal government has plenary power. That means they have absolute power.
Nope.
Okay, they do not. The 10th Amendment specifically states anything not delegated, right, to the federal government is reserved to the states and the people. The word delegate means you're giving somebody power over something that you own, something that you have, something you have jurisdiction over. You're giving them temporary power to do something.
Temporary.
You can't delegate as a state to the federal government if you're the lower power. You can't delegate as a people to the federal government and the state if, in fact, you're the lower power because you're the higher power. The second part of that is reserved to the states and or the people. Now, the states or the people, not the states and the states or the people. That's because if the states don't comply, then the people take over. That's where we're we the people, because the word reserved means ownership, means we own it. But people don't act like it. I mean, what the hell? You know, that's the thing.
You just spoke. Yes, I am down with it.
I mean, damn. You know, well, at what point are we just going to say, hey, come on, you guys, we elected you. Let's get the hell out of California. Or give them an ultimatum. What are they going to do?
Well, get the California out of us, that's all.
You're right, my friend.
There you go.
I just don't know if anybody is aware of that ruling. And it just...
Well, yeah, it's the 10th Amendment anyway. I mean, all it did was, you know, and the 10th, I mean, all it did, it's just an enforcement. You know, it's kind of like, you know, and we look at these school boards, we've got like 30 laws that these are laws, folks. You don't change it with a freaking school board.
But, God.
It just makes me crazy.
They're contrary to the Constitution.
Right.
They're not laws.
That's right.
They're not lawful.
Right.
They're illegal.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. They're illegal, but a school board isn't going to change that. Anyway, Andrew, we love you. You're a patriot, and we got another caller. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Rich, what say you? Rich,
hello.
You there?
Good morning.
Hey, Rich.
Hey. So, wow, lots to talk about today.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned yesterday on another radio show how Zocum Alpha, unfortunately, is a coward. I mentioned yesterday how federal judges can be impeached regarding the January Sixers. So, you know, we're 3.5 years into that. Why isn't the House impeached when multiple federal judges that are presiding over these January Sixers? Why has that not happened? Well, a year and a half ago, Doug LaMalfa was on the Monday through Friday talk show, and I mentioned to Doug, hey, well, why don't we impeach Mr. Biden? I won't call him president because he's not. But and Doug says, well, you know, the vote's not going to go anywhere. That's not the point. Just because you go into a David and Goliath battle and you're pretty sure, well, wrong analogy, but you go into a battle you think you're going to lose, well, do you just give up fighting and then guarantee the lose? Or do you just go in and fight and maybe you can win? I don't know. You know, there's other things people need to be reminded of. There's a few books to read. Chris Hent Hall, Sovereign Duty. Mark Levin, Men in Black. Frederick Bastiat, The Law, written in the 1860s, I believe. If people would read those books, take them to heart, and everything you guys are talking about, including the original California Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, if people could please start reading those things and understanding them, and more than that, like you say, Terry, action. Not only education, but then you act on it.
Well, that's
that's
the key to it. You have to have, once you have education, you have to have strategy you glean from the education you've had. Then you have to have the tactics, which is the action from the strategy from what you've gleaned from the education. People stop at education when they're trying to teach something. You're right, and that's the problem. But it's just like Wynn said, why don't you just defund the prison? I mean, Wynn had a great idea, just defund the frickin' prison. You know, here's the deal. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I think a lot of these guys, when they've been in Congress for a while, they just get, you know, they get run hard and put to bed wet. I don't think that anybody goes in. A lot of guys go in there with the right intentions. And I'm not defending or not defending somebody. I'm just saying that the real deal is that if you know what's going on, you know, what happens is that they need to all grow a pair is what it amounts to. And the board is super, but we've got to start there, and I think we have to go now on a resolution. I mean, now on a resolution that nothing in this county is going to be followed. And we stop the sheriff. If they've got to defund him, I don't care what they do. But if the sheriff is going to do things that are illegal, which I don't think he's going to, I'm not pointing a finger at him, okay? I'm just saying, another county, L.A. County, be a good example, okay? You know, there's a lot of counties that be a good example of what I'm talking about. San Jose. Or Santa Clara County. There's a lot of counties I could mention that this applies to. I'm not so sure it applies to ours, but we have to have the Board of Supervisors stand up and do this. We've got a lot of other stuff going on. Well, a jail isn't going to fix anything when you're looking at crime being rampant.
Well, one of the things we need to do, too, is track the voting history of all the elected. So if the congressman is scared to put anything before Congress to have a vote on it, why is that? Is he afraid to expose other congressmen, himself, or whatever, for how their vote's going to be tracked? Those things are important to understand. We have to track their voting history on all the issues that they are voting on. That way you understand who you have serving you. And they don't forget, they are the public servants. They are elected to serve.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they're there, is to carry out the will of the electorate. And they are not doing that. And if they're not going to do it, then they need to find another spot somewhere else. And we need to find somebody else to replace them. I don't care who they are. Yeah. So that needs to happen point blank. And it doesn't matter whether it's school board all the way up to president. Right. It has to happen that way.
Well, last thing, and then I'll get off the show here. So our Board of Supervisors majority, they're good people. I think they have good hearts. I think they have good intentions. But here's the issue. They're trying to fix things. They're trying to fix things within the legal framework. They're trying to do things ethically and morally. But notice I did not say one thing. They're
legally.
Not trying to do anything. No, I said that. They're not trying to do things constitutionally. They're not invoking their powers as local officials, for the local level authority, sovereignty, and autonomy. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. And all those books that I've said, maybe they've read those or not, I don't know, but they're not putting those tenets and morals in place and constitutional values are not acting on them constitutionally. They're good men, but they fall short. They're falling short.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Rich. Where you really hit the nail on the head was the fact that you could read all the books you want, but unless there's action to it, again, education followed by strategy you gleaned from the education. Here's my strategy. Here are the tactics, folks. This is what we use. The education is we know the Constitution. We know everything that California is doing for the most part is unconstitutional. Also, the other thing that we're looking at is we have a strategy. What's the strategy? To go to the Board of Supervisors and use the tactic of a resolution and then putting it out to the people. Do you believe that we should stay with the state of California? I think that should be put out there. I think there should be a poll out there. There is no way to fix this frickin' mess. You know, there is no way to fix it. There's no way to fix it.
And how bad do you want it to get before we even start taking action?
Yeah, and it's every day.
That's a million-dollar question for everybody. How much worse do you want it to get?
Well, we can't fix the system, but what we do is we just take back our sovereignty, autonomy, and authority without asking permission. We just do it. And I'm going to get off the phone so somebody else can call in. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Rich.
But, you know, he's right about
he's
that.
He's absolutely right.
This isn't a revolution.
No.
This is a restoration. We already have the Constitution. And by the way, the Constitution of California has been amended, 500 times, 600 times?
Some crazy
number. 75,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So the California Constitution, the most current one I've got is 2017, 2018, but they just made one back in November, and I compared the two, and pretty much 17, 18, if you can get a hold of that one, that's the most current thing. But everything we've discussed is in the current Constitution, not in the original.
And you can get that
California Constitution, I'm talking now.
And you can get a copy of that from your Senate office, your local Senate office, and your local Assembly office. They should have those in there, and they're free. You just need to call and get a copy of that. Share it with your family, share it with your kids.
I don't think they've ever read it.
Sometimes I wonder.
You know, that's the problem. I don't think these guys read their own stuff. I don't really think that there's a, you know, I think for the most part, if you take five people on a supervisor board, I don't know that probably two of them have read the Constitution. Maybe three. But the point is that there's application of the Constitution. It's understanding it. We took something as simple as the 10th Amendment and we broke it down into something feasible, mm-hmm. into what it means. Because the words mean something. And that's the issue. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we've said it 100 times that, you know, we're we the people, but we don't act like it. Remember, it's reserved. Everything is reserved to the states or the people. Because if the states don't do it, you've got the right to do it. And in the California Constitution, it states we can change for the any time we believe that the Constitution is against the public good and against the good of the will of the people, we can change it.
Right.
You know? I mean, you know, but it's just stupid stuff. If we're going to do initiatives, you know, we're going to go out and do initiatives on these laws, well, we're going to take 3 at a time. And then they pass one every week? What the hell? Come on, let's quit being stupid. We don't have a choice.
Well,
we do not have a choice but to go ahead and have counties have a resolution and to just basically put something out there saying, we can't stay with you, California. We're not seceding. We'd be adding a star or 2 or 3 or 4 stars to the United States flag.
We're separating.
We're separate. We're adding.
Difference.
We're not depleting here. And people don't get that stuff. There is no other way to fix this. We could fight this and fight that and fight this and fight that and argue about this and the DA's crooked and blah, blah, blah. Hey, all of it's BS until you do something.
Right.
You know, and we've seen so much. We've seen political persecution in our own town with Carlos Zapata. Here's a guy who got politically persecuted by thousands and thousands of dollars from the DA's office because of a glass of water that he hit with his hand.
Yeah.
Are you serious? I mean, are you? What's wrong with everybody? What the hell is wrong?
Right. And then we have now on a national level, a president
of the United States.
Of the United States, former president of the United States, leading candidate of both parties of the United States, who is found guilty of 34 felonies.
And
what the hell?
What are they?
And nobody knows what the actual crime is. Remember, he's been gone through with a jury and everything, hand-picked jury, and in another commie state, just doing what they're doing.
Unreal.
What they're doing there on Manhattan Island.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
You're right. And you know, all this bull about, well, we're going to wait till next year. Well, you know, it's like,
no.
No, we don't have time.
There's no way.
You guys get it? We don't have time. if we need to start community watches. And basically, I am a firm believer, I think most people are a firm believer, that we have to have some kind of protection. You know, the militia is something that is legal.
Yep.
Constitutional.
Constitutional.
And we, and the thing is that basically, it's time.
And the militia is every citizen.
Right.
It's not selected people or people who've gone through a post-training. It's every citizen.
Now, think about this. Let's take the First Amendment. Okay. What's the first right in the First Amendment?
The right to address grievances.
No, but that's okay. We can take that one. If you address a grievance, you get arrested. Look at January 6th.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech, you get arrested.
Yeah.
January 6th. Freedom of religion. They shut down the churches during COVID.
The right to gather.
They shut that down because you now have zones where you can gather. Only certain zones where you can gather.
Yeah.
Freedom of the press. Okay. Try to write something that is conservative and see if you get zapped out of there.
Freedom of speech.
And the freedom of speech was the first one.
First one.
There is no freedom of speech when it comes to that. You go a little too far and you got the FBI knocking on your door. The Gestapo.
Right.
And that's what they've become.
That's correct.
You know, and it's kind of like, yeah, I guess we're getting a little ballsy here. But, you know, the deal is hey, when is everybody going to wake up? If people in Southern California are beginning to wake up. I mean, I stayed with a very nice couple, a wonderful couple, and they certainly have means. The people down there have means. You imagine driving 10 minutes from your beautiful home and your swimming pool, gorgeous home, and going to the border and seeing people cross it? Mm. Just right there. I mean, come on.
No.
They're waking up.
No. Hey, Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Is it Dave?
What's happening, Dave?
Is this Dave?
Yes.
Hey, Dave.
I have a question. Could the counties just ignore the state mandates? So if it's going to take a long time to get out of California or start be part of a new state or something like that, could in the meantime, could the counties just ignore the mandates?
Well, let me answer the first question first. First of all, yes, they can ignore mandates, but everything we talked about here is law. It's either a Senate bill that passed, like 777, you know, SB 543, SB 48, these are laws when we talked about the school situation. Those are laws. They're not mandates. They are in law. Go ahead. What's your second question?
Are there any taxes or any revenue that the counties could withhold from the state and maybe get a group of people together to just say, we're not paying state income tax anymore?
Well, you can do that, and then you'll end up in jail. But the thing, and I'm not saying no or yes. I'm just saying.
But if enough people do it simultaneously, what are they going
to
do, right?
Maybe hold back on your taxes to paying your homeowner taxes. I mean, because you don't own your home, the state owns your home. I mean, come on, let's get real. Let's get real here, folks. Okay, so the deal is that Dave, here's the bottom line to this. Mandates, they don't have to do it. Okay, it's a mandate. It's not a law. When a mandate comes through, that mandate is something that you comply with, and it becomes what you do. Okay, the answer is no. You don't have to. Can they enforce that? Yeah, illegally. But what are they not doing illegally now? These laws that are in the schools are illegal. The way of shutting down churches is illegal. Limiting your freedom of speech is illegal. Allowing immigration just to come through the way it is illegal. Harboring and Shield. The governor and the legislative body of the state of California is guilty of Title 8, United States Code, Section 1324. Harboring and shielding an illegal alien is a felony.
For every single alien coming across
exactly.
The border. So how many felonies does that calculate up to?
And it gets better. And here's the jurisdiction for it. The jurisdiction is that of the federal government. When we as states got together as 13 countries that are states, remember, a state is likened, or a country, the state of Virginia is likened to the state of Spain, France, and Great Britain, okay, because the state is a country. We got together, we created the federal government. In that compact, when the states got together and created the federal government, in essence, what happened is that we gave certain things, we delegated, as I talked about on the 10th Amendment, we delegated to the federal government what they could do. We'd give them temporary custody over what they could do and what they couldn't do. One of the things was immigration, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, United States Constitution. So they have power over immigration. which means they're the ones who enforce immigration, and Doug LaMalfa did say that on the radio program yesterday.
Right.
So here's the deal. The deal is that everything Newsom's doing is illegal. There is no such thing as a sanctuary county, a sanctuary state, or a sanctuary anything because they don't have jurisdiction. But, Dave, I hope that answered that. We do have another caller on the line. Mary, what say you? We've only got a couple of minutes, Mary.
Hi, Terry. You know, I hear you saying, how come we don't have people standing up? We just haven't lost enough, Terry, apparently.
That's what Doug LaMalfa said.
It's going to be too late, but the people like Carlos, who put thousands and thousands of dollars of his own money to basically make a stand, look at where he's at now, and people are scared with that. When you have the Border Patrol, okay, standing there watching these terrorists, these invaders come over our border, why doesn't it start with them? How come they're not standing up? Oh, it's because they have too big a pensions they want to lose. How come the police aren't standing up when they've seen people thieving and doing all this bad stuff? Where are the police? How come they're not standing against this tyranny? You're asking people like us that have worked our whole life, that have saved, and if we make a stand, our voice is so minimal, so minimal. But if all of the border agents would stand together, lock arms, maybe with some frickin' rhinos, then maybe we could make a difference, and people would follow. They would follow. We need stand. We need our police and our border agents to make a stand.
Yeah, Wynn wants to make a comment on that.
Hey, Mary, you're absolutely correct. Now, it's not just stopping with the police, because they know that once they incarcerate or take these guys in, is the DA going to do their job?
No.
The DAs throughout the entire state of California. No. Ours included.
We got a big fancy courthouse that we can't pay for.
Right.
Big fancy courthouse. We can't even prosecute them.
Well, that fancy courthouse was paid for by state funds. We have to remember that. That was state funds.
Right.
Terry, it's a pipe dream. It's not going to happen.
Well, okay, you can believe what you want. Mary, you can believe what you want to believe. So what's your solution? Because you're not going to get these guys to flip on their pension. You're not going to change the laws of what they're doing to our children in the schools. You're not going to have a situation where the police have to do anything, even according to law, 841, 845, and 829. They don't have to even protect us. So if we're going to have somebody else do our bidding, that's why everything is reserved, remember, to the states or the people. It is up to us. And, yeah, I am asking. I'm not asking. I'm stating the fact that if we don't stand up, the people who are police officers are still United States citizens. The people that are sheriffs are still United States citizens.
For
the
now.
People that are Border Patrol people, they're still United States citizens, and there are ones that think that way. But the deal is that, yeah, you're right, they have to stand up, but we all have to stand up. We all have to do it.
We would stand up if they would stand up, Terry. I'm telling you, people need a leader in this. And if we had the border agents and we seen some conviction on our border with our American citizens, these guys took an oath to protect us. Okay?
You wouldn't know it if they did. You wouldn't even know it if they did arrest them, because the press doesn't print it. How would you ever know?
Just sitting there watching them. It's crazy.
Are you in Southern California?
What was that?
Are you in Southern California?
No, I'm in Redding.
Oh, okay.
I come from a private background, and watching what these government people are doing with all their fancy pensions, trust me, I see that. I travel with them.
Oh,
I know what they
are
about.
I'm with you there. Yep.
And they're scared, just like the rest of us, to make a stand because we don't want to lose everything. But, Terry, it's going to be too late, and that's why they're keeping us quiet right now.
Agreed.
Because when it really comes, when we go and we have a run on the banks, which is coming, when it happens, it's over. America then will stand up, but by then it's going to be just too late. I'm sorry, guys, but
I agree. You're absolutely right.
Well, your
passion should be shared by many others.
Many others, but
everybody should be feeling the same way you're feeling, so that we.
But I'm not going to have. I don't agree that we have to have somebody else do our job. I think we all have to stand up. I think we need militias.
Well, that's what I
think.
With the militia too,
militias. The militias would follow in line if the Border Patrol would start making a stand.
Well, the militia,
isn't down there.
Hey, Mary,
already.
Don't forget, Mary, militia is every single one of us.
That's right.
There are positions within the militias that anybody can do.
They would lock us up quicker than you guys could say whatever. That's what people are afraid of. Look at Carlos.
Yeah.
I mean, they're scaring us into submission.
Right.
And it's working. It's working. And the people that do have stuff are scared. It's not that we're not passionate and don't feel it, but if we, one or 10 or 100 can't make a difference, the people that can make a difference are the border people and the policemen and firemen, people that work for the government, the FBI. What are they doing? Oh, that's right. They're prosecuting Trump for every little thing.
Yeah, Mary, this is great, and feel free to call at any time. It's just we only got 30 seconds.
Okay.
So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. You know, the thing is, basically, it is up to the people.
I agree with her passion. Thank you, Mary.
And the thing is that, you know, it is up to the people. It's going to be up to us to do it. The police aren't going to do it. The sheriff isn't going to do it unless we make them do it.
There you go.
Okay, so with that.
Time has come.
Time has come.
For 51.
It has.